Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Good morning. I'm Meg Scher, the director of the David M. Hunt Library, and I'm here with Leslie Battis, the assistant director of the Norfolk Library. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Meg.
We're excited to start off talking this morning about beloved library fundraisers. And I love library fundraisers because not all only are they an opportunity for us to raise operating funds for the library, but they're also a great opportunity to get our communities together. So, Leslie, I'd love to start out by hearing about what some of the beloved fundraisers at Norfolk are.
Well, I don't know if it's beloved, but our annual Appeal is our major fundraiser that covers part of the operating expenses for the library. And that's carried out by the Board of Trustees. They send out the mailers and handle everything with that. And then our more beloved fundraiser comes from the Library Associates. They are a separate entity from the library, and all of our programs, concerts, movies, author talks, summer reading, you name it, are funded by the Library Associates. And their big fundraiser is the annual book sale at the end of August. And this year, the book sale is August 28th, 29th, and 30th. It's a monumental undertaking that we were just scurrying around with this morning because I think we got, I don't know if we got 40 boxes in this morning. It was something like that.
Oh, my goodness. From one person?
No, 27 from one, seven from someone else, a surprise delivery. Like, we like to have, we have a ramp that it goes down from the parking lot down into the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And once the ramp is full, we can't take any more that day. So we like to have people make reservations with us and say, and then we can say, oh, that day won't work. You know, this one is better. But today
right.
we had a surprise delivery that made everything very exciting. Bridget Taylor is in charge of the book sale, and she does a fabulous job. They sort into so many categories, and I think it's beloved. We have a line waiting. Open up the book sale, there's a line that goes out and around, almost around the side of the curve on 44. So it's very popular. And Tristine's looks through the books to find like rare and vintage ones that we do sell for a bit more money. So that brings in, I think, over 20,000.
Wow!
Every year, it's huge. I can't.
That's
tell you how
amazing.
Many books, yes. And then, like many libraries, we have a fundraising party every year that's also hosted by the associates. Our party is on the Friday night before the book sale, and that event raises funds that pay for the absolutely enormous tent that we need for the book sale, and so that all of the book sale is profit.
That's amazing.
The tent covers our entire parking lot plus some. And then we have other pop-up tents because we have so many books, and we need that for our people that are selling the books. And our last one is the Associates Art Committee that I'm a part of, and we have monthly art exhibits. And the sales from that bring in, I think it's about $10,000 a year is our goal. And it's a great opportunity for local artists to show their work and for us to host a party every month.
Yes.
And so that's a community, involves a community, like you said. But the annual book sale, so many people volunteer for that event. And that truly is a community building and community celebrating event. Some of these people see each other once a year, and that's when they're helping out at our book sale.
Yes.
So
I love that.
So that's great. Yeah. So how about you?
So we do some similar things to you guys, Leslie. We have an annual appeal as well. And we also have monthly book sales. So our friends group, which I think is close to your associates, same idea, runs a monthly book sale. So on the first Saturday of every month, and I think we just celebrated 40 years of book sales, which is amazing to me.
Yes.
So the first Saturday of every month, except for this month, because it's the 4th of July, our book sale is on Saturday, July 11th from 10 to 1. We have a book sale. I feel very fortunate that we have permanent homes in our building for the books, so we don't have to set up and take down, which is what makes it possible for us to do them every month, thank goodness.
Yes.
And those book sales are run by wonderful volunteers. Also, we have an art wall, an art program run by a subcommittee of our friends group. And we also have, about every 6 weeks, we have a different art show, and also a great excuse to throw a party. And we have Ken Musselman on the art wall right now. Mm. He's a local Falls Village artist. And actually, we have sold so many paintings that Ken is making more.
Yay!
So, yeah, isn't that the best problem to have?
It is.
So Ken's work is up through the end of July, and you should come in and see it if you haven't already. One of my favorite parts about this show in particular is that Ken has made a bunch of minis. So they're little canvases that come on their own little easels, and they're $40 a piece or three for $100, and they are lovely. So he's painting us 20 more minis that'll probably be up next week at the library, and we're very excited about that. And our other big fundraiser is Augustfest in the Village. So at the end of the summer every year, we do this fundraiser. It's lovely. We have beer and brats. It takes place on the library lawn. We also have a bunch of tents. We have live music. This year it's with Vance Cannon and friends. They're really wonderful. And we have a silent auction, and people in our community donate wonderful things. We have a pontoon boat rental from O'Hara's Marina. We have a coach purse. Stay at an Upper West Side New York City apartment, wine tastings, beautiful food made by local people who are incredible bakers or cooks. We just have a really great array of things for people to bid on and support the library. So this year, Augustfest is on Sunday, August 23rd from 4 to 6 p.m., and we're really excited about it. The weather's been beautiful every year. It's a family-friendly event. Tickets are $30 for I almost called them grown-ups, for adults, and $5 for kids, 5 to 12, and you can buy them online or you can buy them at the door, and it's just a really wonderful, some people, just like with your book sale, some people only come out for this event, and I love that. It's an opportunity to get our community together in a different way. And so I really look forward to it. Leslie, shifting gears a little bit, what have been some of the most requested books at the Norfolk Library in the last few weeks?
Well, Yesteryear is still popular.
Yeah, that's here too.
Yep. Whistler by Ann Patchett is popular. And Alan Opts Out by Courtney Mom, who lives right here in Norfolk.
Right.
That's been popular. Yep.
You guys had a really great book launch event for her. It was on the actual day the book was published, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Awesome.
And it was great. And it was a great, really good repartee between the two people that, you know, Courtney and the person that was with her. So that was really good. And then what do we? Oh, Theo of Golden is still circulating like mad. Isn't that crazy?
Wow!
I know I am surprised by that. For nonfiction, we have London Falling, still popular.
Yep, us too.
And then 1929 by Andrew Ross Sorkin is still popular. Yeah, those are the ones that have been popular. What about your library?
So I think, too, that you didn't mention, Lena Dunham's biography, Famesick, has been circulating quite a bit at our library. And also in fiction, The Things We Never Say by Elizabeth Strout. We have a line for that one.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And that's another popular one. I feel like we had a lot of really popular authors come out with new books in June, and it's hard to read them all. I've been trying.
You know, I've been on a readathon lately.
Yes, totally. What have you been reading, Leslie?
Well, I read a book that made me think of you. It's a nonfiction book called How We Got to Now by Stephen Johnson.
I
found it very interesting. It's an illustrated history. I mean, in that it has photos in there, not that the whole thing is a graphic novel. That's not it. And Johnson takes a very long time frame approach towards storytelling and how one set of advancements or innovations led to others, which led to others. So I'll give you an example. The first chapter is on glass.
Mm.
And the chapter starts with the fall of Constantinople.
Oh, wow.
And that caused several guilds of glassmakers on the coast of Turkey to go to Venice, where they set up shop, and unfortunately would occasionally burn down their neighborhoods because they needed such a hot fire. Yep, yep.
Yikes.
That in turn led to the city exiling to an island just off the coast where they could burn down as often as they wanted and not affect anybody else. And the concentration of glassmakers in one place led to several advancements, including the development of clear glass, which led to the development of mirrors and the ability of people to see themselves. And that time frame seemed to correspond with the rise of laws that benefited individuals rather than groups or towns or families.
Oh, interesting.
So I just found it fascinating. And my daughter listened to the book, also thought of you on that one, and she recommended it to you. She said, oh, it was a good one, like not an annoying voice or anything weird about it.
Oh, wait, tell me the name one more time so I can write it down.
How We Got to Now.
Great.
Yes.
Awesome.
What have you been reading?
What have I been reading? I've been reading Land by Maggie O'Farrell.
Which I read that.
You read it, and what do you think?
I did not like it.
Oh, I'm so interested to hear why.
I know, this is an outlier opinion. I found it wildly depressing. I mean, it was beautifully written. I'll give you that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was beautifully written, but I just found it such a slog.
Oh, right. Yeah, it was a little sloggy. I hear you.
Yeah, but you loved it, so tell me why you loved it.
So I will say that the first couple of chapters, I had a hard time getting into it, and I almost gave up.
Yep.
And then I didn't, and I was glad that I didn't. You know, I love like a multi-generational family drama,
mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated the different aspects of Irish history that she wove in. You know, you got the potato famine, you got the British issues, and you mm-hmm. also got a little bit of Druid history and some magical pre-Catholicism stuff. And so I really enjoyed all of the different ways that she explored what being Irish means and what Irish history looks like.
I agree with you on that one. I did enjoy learning. And that's what kept me going in the book, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I love hearing, you know, it's always interesting. That's one of my favorite parts about being a librarian is getting to hear what people think about different books and what they like and don't like. So I love hearing different people's opinions.
And have you listened to a nonfiction book?
I am listening to American Rambler, Walking the Trail of Johnny Appleseed by Isaac Fitzgerald. And I'm a little more than halfway through. And this book was on the bestsellers list briefly a couple of weeks ago. I was surprised that I could get it so quickly on Libby. And I'm realizing that really my favorite kind of nonfiction is that shifts back and forth between history and a personal story. Mm-hmm. So he's exploring Johnny Appleseed. He's trying to walk the way that Johnny Appleseed walked, or John Chapman. But he's also pulling in, you know, so we get to see his own personal adventure on this walk. And we also get to learn all about John Chapman. I'm getting to learn all about this religion he was part of that came from Sweden, I believe. I can't remember what it is now. I should have written it down. That is a fascinating religion that basically is defunct now. You get to learn, you know, he just showed up in the story at someone's house that has one of the last, you know, trees that they can trace back to Johnny Appleseed planting.
Cool.
And he just shows up at this woman's house, you know, and she's delighted to see him and tells him all about her history and the stories that her grandparents told, but also says, actually, the more important history of this property is that we were a stop on the Underground Railroad. So the way that he tells the story really, you know, it's surprising. He keeps coming up with different things, and he's engaging with people in current times and also getting the history in. So I'm really enjoying that. He also has a great voice. I'm really
going to write that down for my daughter, who likes to listen to nonfiction also.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. Leslie, what things do you have upcoming at the Norfolk Library?
Well, we are, of course, knee-deep, if not more, in summer reading. And that's going on. Our summer reading events are typically Mondays at 5:30.
Mm.
And what else do we have? Oh, so for our teens, coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday, July 13th and 14th, we're having a watch party for the semifinals of the World Cup.
Oh, cool.
And it's in the back in the teen area. We have a big screen back there, and we'll serve snacks, always important with teens.
Yes. of course, or anyone, really.
Oh, really, yes, yes. On Tuesdays, we have an interesting program. It's Lucy Mukherjee, and she's presenting a program called English Cookery, or I'm going to say it wrong, Plantagenet Propaganda. And it's the form of curry and politics of culinary authority. And what I learned is that the form of curry is the first cookbook in the English language.
Wow.
And it was compiled in the late 14th century, so the 1300s, by the master cooks of Richard II. And it contains about 200 recipes. And she will discuss the overlooked history of the book and how medieval cookery in general was not merely, that medieval cookery is what they referred to as a cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't just a culinary manual, but a political and performative text that's tied to what's going on in, you know, the times that it was written. So it sounds very interesting. We also have all of our usual repeating events, our first Monday book group. We have our summer reading, as I already mentioned. And we have our senior lunch and learn. And all of those events are on our website. So go take a peek.
Great. We have a big weekend, the 11th and 12th. I mentioned that the book sale is happening on the 11th, but on the 11th and 12th is our giant tag sale. So that's another beloved fundraiser. I think it's more beloved by the people who shop than the people who organize it.
Probably. It sounds like a lot of work.
It is. But it's a great, you know, it's a great way to get people new treasures and keep things out of the landfill, which I love. Mm-hmm. So for on the 11th and 12th, Saturday and Sunday at the Center on Main. It doesn't take place at the library. The Center on Main is at 103 Main Street. From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., we'll have our giant tag sale. If people have treasures to part with and they want to donate them, they can do that the 2 days before, so the 9th and 10th, Thursday and Friday, from noon to 5, also at the Center on Main. We don't take books, electronics, or clothes, but anything else we're happy to take. And then also, we have a new repeating program coming up that I'm excited about, and it's called the Revolutionary Roundtable, a reading and discussion group focused on our emerging nation from 1740 to 1791. And it's led by an avid amateur historian and Falls Village resident, Richard Berzine, and he is picking out readings for each of these is going to go for 6 months. It'll meet once a month on a Saturday morning at 10:30. The first Saturday is July 18th. And the first session is going to focus on our Declaration of Independence, discussion of the greatest sentence ever written by Walter Isaacson. And we actually have copies of the greatest sentence for the first 20 people that come in to get the readings at the library. So come stop by and see me, and I'll give you the two other readings and that very small book by Walter Isaacson. And that program, Revolutionary Roundtable, will continue through the end of the year. It's one of our ways of celebrating the 250th anniversary. So we're excited about that. We also have summer reading happening. Anna has so many things for kids on the calendar. I can't keep
she
them all straight.
Does. I know. I saw that. Good job.
Yeah, it's amazing. Coming up, we have a cartooning class with a cartooning teacher. I think that's in 2 weeks. I think it's on the 14th in the afternoon. We have a make your own pasta class with Matt from MyCT Productions, who's amazing. We have a lot of other fun things, chalk murals and patriotic crafts and all kinds of things. And one last event I wanted to share, we have a concert series that we do in conjunction with the Falls Village Recreation Committee, and our July concert will be on the 24th at 6 p.m. They're all on Friday afternoons. They take place on, weather permitting, on the lawn of the library. And it's with the Berkshire Resilience Brass Band, who's one of our favorites. And it's a really good time. So grab some chairs, pack yourself a picnic, and come down and listen to some music at the library.
I think I will. That sounds great.
Good. Good, good. Well, Leslie, as always, it is delightful talking to you.
You too. Thanks, Meg.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.